Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
As we move along in our study of Paul's first epistle to Timothy, we have examined rather carefully, as you know, verse 15 of chapter 1, which says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." But interestingly, Paul goes on in verse 16 to give some more information about his salvation. And he says, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." So, Paul says, "Though I was the chief of sinners, yet God had mercy upon me." But he doesn't say he had mercy upon me because of anything within me. He doesn't say God had mercy upon me because I was deserving of salvation. Not that at all. But he said, "For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." A pattern for the longsuffering of Christ. In other words, to demonstrate how merciful and patient God is toward sinners. Put it all together again, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So, Christ's purpose for coming, as we saw on the broadcast yesterday and the day before, Christ's purpose for coming was to save sinners. Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners." He seems to be saying, therefore, that makes him a prime candidate for salvation. If Christ came to save sinners, then apparently the sinners that are the worst sinners stand in the best position for consideration of salvation. And so he says, "I am the chief of sinners, and Christ saved me, for he came into the world to save sinners." But then he tells us why Christ would save him, a big sinner, the one he calls the chief of sinners. And he says it is to illustrate what a merciful God he is, what a patient God he is, how long-suffering he is towards sinners. That's interesting. To me, at least, it's interesting. In other words, Paul said the reason he saved me, the chief of sinners, was to illustrate for others what kind of sinners Christ delights to save. I am a pattern, a type, an example, a sketch. Paul is saying, I serve as a sample of the kind of sinners Jesus came to save. I serve as an illustration to remind people that Christ saves the worst of sinners. If I'm the chief of sinners, then no matter how bad a sinner you are, you can't be quite as bad as I was. So don't let Satan tempt you to think that you can't be saved. Don't let Satan persuade you that it's impossible for you to be saved. I'm here to illustrate the truth that Christ saves great sinners, horrendous sinners, big sinners, chief of sinners, the greatest of sinners. And Christ saved me, therefore he can save you. Christ saved me, therefore he can save your son or daughter. Christ saved me, therefore he can save your friend, your relative, your neighbor, the one you think that has sinned so much that he's beyond hope of salvation. I'm the chief of sinners. Christ saved me, and he did it as a pattern, an example, a type to encourage others. I have had a number of people along the way who have come to me and said, I'm so burdened for my son or daughter or somebody else, fill in the blank. They need to be saved, but they have been walking in sin so long and they've gone so far into sin, I don't think there's any hope for them. And I assure them that that's not true, that there is hope and there is biblical warrant for hope. In fact, there's great reason for encouragement. Now, we don't know what God is going to do or when he's going to do it, but don't ever give up hope. And don't ever stop hoping on the basis that their sin is too great. What do you think salvation is all about? What is your concept of salvation? Do you think that Christ saves sinners who are deserving of salvation? Well, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that's not true. And yet it's one thing to say you know it's not true, and it's another thing to remove from your thinking every vestige of that kind of sentiment, because there's something in our Adamic nature that just insists and persists on thinking that way in spite of all biblical evidence to the contrary. Get it through your mind. Christ doesn't save anyone because they deserve it, not one. Christ doesn't save anyone even partly because they deserve it. Our deserving salvation has absolutely nothing to do with salvation, because nobody deserves it in the least. Nobody deserves it even a little bit. And Paul says, I'm here to prove that. Well, who was Paul? Verse 13, I formerly was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. And if you study the life of the Apostle Paul before he was saved, you will realize that he's not exaggerating. And he was a wicked man in some pretty difficult ways, because it doesn't take you long in this world to learn that the most sinful people are those who think themselves to be righteous, but they are often the most wicked. And here's Paul, a good example of it, a religious man, a fastidious keeper of the Mosaic law, and yet was not the slightest bit bothered by going out and persecuting innocent people and throwing them into prison and killing some of them simply because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how can a man do something like that? Where's his conscience? Where's his justification? What is he thinking about? How could his thinking possibly lead him to believe that killing innocent men and women simply because of their religion differed from his, that could possibly be a good thing, that could possibly be pleasing to God? Well, that's the warped thinking of many sinners. And you see, oftentimes the worst sinners are not the ones who are reveling in the gutter and getting drunk and committing serial immorality, though they are in great sinners indeed. But so many times the worst sinners are the ones that are considered to be respectable and religious, but turn out to be the most wicked of all. And Paul says, that was me. You just described me. And Christ saved me. And I was the chief of sinners. And if Christ saved me, then he can save anybody. Think about the thief on the cross. That particular conversion really is hard for some people to come to grips with. Well, that's not fair. For Christ to save him just hours before he died. And he didn't do anything for Christ. He never even got baptized. He never served the Lord one day of his life. And here are people who've served the Lord for years, and This man has the same salvation they do, and he's going to the same heaven that they're going to. That's not fair. What do you mean that's not fair? Are you suggesting that the people who serve Christ for many years somehow merit salvation? They earn salvation? They deserve salvation? They deserve to go to heaven? Come on! What kind of a gospel is that? What the thief on the cross shows us is that none of us deserve to be saved. If you are saved at all, it is entirely an act of gracious mercy on the part of Christ. He has no more reason to save you than he did to save the thief on the cross. Your life of serving him, if he saved you when you were young, though that's commendable in some respects and is only what should be expected out of gratitude for what Christ has done for you, but that doesn't make you any better candidate for heaven than the thief on the cross. When God saves sinners, God saves sinners. And all salvation is a demonstration of mercy to sinners. And Paul said, I'm an illustration of that. For this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me, first, Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And so Paul says, I'm a pattern to encourage other people that they can be saved. You haven't sinned too much. You haven't gone too long. You haven't rejected Christ too many times. An encouragement to moms and dads and friends and relatives not to give up on your loved ones. They have not gone too far. They are not beyond the reach of God's mercy. They have not sinned so much that God says, I've quit being concerned about them. They're on their own now. No, Christ delights to save sinners in order to demonstrate his love, his mercy, his long-suffering, his patience, in order to show just what kind of God he is. Interestingly, too, and I must point out this part of verse 16, that Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Well, how can Paul be sure that anybody else is going to believe on him if it's all up to man's free will? I can't help but insert this at this point. But, of course, if God has a people chosen before the foundation of the world, and they haven't all come to Christ yet, but they are going to, because all for whom Christ died will be brought to saving faith in Christ, then of course there are some people who yet will believe on him. Of course there are. But the only way there can be, for sure, is if God has chosen a people that in the passing of time he will infallibly, effectually call to Christ and bring to repentance and faith. And Paul says, I'm a sample, I'm an illustration, I'm a pattern to those very people to be encouraged to believe that Christ is exceedingly long-suffering and patient and kind, and that he will receive them if they will come to him. No matter what they've done, no matter how long it's been, he will receive them if they will come to him. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.